Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanos. This is episode 285, season 12. Today's date is December 10th, 2023, and welcome to the program. On today's show, this is going to be an unusual show. I'm going to talk about, first, I'm going to talk about my earliest Christmas memories as a child in Chicago. Like, for example, the toys I received, the Christmas tree, you know, the first Christmas tree I've seen, and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm getting into more detail to that. Also, I will talk about my fourth anniversary of being diagnosed of having prostate cancer. I felt compelled to talk about this because it's very important. And I know it's sort of a depressing subject. I've talked about it many times, but this is very, very important to me. And I have to say that. And this will be very important to men, you know, who I hope it doesn't happen to them, but it does happen. And I will explain my journey of this and how to prevent it, you know, and we'll see how it goes, okay? All right. Right now, the program will go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by McDonald's gift certificates. I remember these. Those were fun items back in the day. So here's a commercial. They did 1976, 77, around that time. So sit back and relax and just enjoy it. Thank you, everyone.
There's lots of folks you shouldn't forget.
When giving McDonald's gift certificates.
The paper boy who delivers through thick and thin.
The lady who teaches your son violin.
The barber who cuts your hair just right.
The sitter who sat for you Saturday night.
Say Merry Christmas with McDonald's gift certificate.
Each costs 50 cents.
A book of 10 costs $5.
Nobody can do it like McDonald's can.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for McDonald's gift certificates. They were very popular in the 70s, 80s, 90s, I think. I'm not sure about the 90s. I remember these very well. I did get a few of them in my lifetime from people. I used to go to McDonald's and, you know, order like that because I love fast food. it's so addictive like that, especially all kinds, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, White Castles, you name it. And I do go once in a while, not like I used to, because of health reasons. You have to be careful. When I do go, I try to get the leanest meat, you know, I'll do that. Or like for French fries, I would order no salt. I always request that. And you know what? They're tasty that way. Sometimes they come out hot and they're good like that. And so I'm careful. So far, I'm fine, you know, with that because, well, I have high blood pressure. So I take medication for that. But I do, like I said before, I do take, you know, just take it easy for a while, get a hankering. Right now they have gift cards, not certificates, just like any other place. The cards replace the papers, you know, the paper certificates. I don't know. There's something nostalgic about that. With McDonald's gift certificates, you know, they come in paper form. I haven't bought one in a long time. But they're out there. And these days you do it on your phone. You know, you do it all electronically. You know, not like when you go up to the counter, you have it stuff in your pocket or your purse and just hand it to the cashier to buy something. But this commercial that I played was very nostalgic, you know, like that. You know what's so funny about it? When you see a McDonald's commercial, the food looks much better than it does, than it actually looks when you visit the restaurant, which is true. It looks so tempting. It looks so good. You can't help it. Because I'm a hamburger freak. I love hamburgers. I can eat every day, but I don't now. Okay. At the beginning of the program, I mentioned I'm going to talk about two things. My earliest my earliest Christmas memories as a child, and also the fourth anniversary of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. Okay, I will start that first because this I want to get that out of the way, you know, because this is tough. This is very tough. Seems like yesterday, you know. Because I'll start at the beginning how it happened. I went out for a routine checkup at my doctor. He noticed my PSA was way up. And he says, oh, you got to see a urologist. You got to see a urologist now. Oh, okay. And I couldn't think of one on the top of my head. My mother was with me and she suggested, why don't we go the one your father went. I said, all right, we'll call him. His father retired, the urologist, but his son was there, you know, and I made an appointment. I went to see him. He did the exam, you know, where we're at in the back. And he noticed a lump. So he ordered a biopsy. Now, that sounded scary. It really did, but I had to do it. So he scheduled a biopsy. I went December 2nd or something like that. I first went to my regular doctor like in November around before Thanksgiving on 2019. So I went for the biopsy and then in a few days they made an appointment. I went to see him again, the urologist. And then on that day, my mother was with me and he told me, yeah, prostate cancer. The funny thing about it is I had no emotion. I didn't feel, it was like, I didn't like break down and cry. I didn't like get angry. I don't know why. Maybe it was a delayed reaction. And I could tell from my mother's face that she was devastated. She really was. And I came home and I told my brother, and then I called my other brother, live in California, and told them the news, and they were so worried. And then I got worried. Then, so they scheduled. The funny thing about this is, about a few days later, then it just hit me. You know, I was alone in my room, and then I just started bawling. And I said to myself, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this. I have been in Chicagoland going. Everything's going great. And now this happens. And I thought about quitting. I thought about quitting it so I can concentrate on my health. And I said to myself, no. Why should I do that? I want to beat this thing. I want to beat this. You know, many men have done this, and I want to do that too. I was scared to death, but I want to do that. Then the doctor called the urologist. I said, and he says, I'm not taking care of you anymore because your insurance doesn't cover, you know, our office doesn't cover your insurance, which, oh, that's great. You know, I got punched in the gut for this, you know, and that was, it sucked. Sorry for that language, but it did for a while. Now I had to go find another doctor, which was a pain in the butt. I did a internet search. I had a little help from the insurance company, and lucky enough, I found one. And they made an appointment. I met with someone. This urologist, well, he was there, but then he left. But I did talk to him. He was a very nice man. And I explained what happened. And he said, that was stupid. What kind of physician would do that? And I could tell by his face, he looked very angry. He looked like he had blood in his eyes. But I explained to the doctor what happened. He says, don't worry, you'll be in good hands here. And then he told me about another doctor who I am seeing right now. And he's very good. And that was for a consultation. Yeah, he made an appointment for a consultation. And then I did, and I saw the other doctor, and he says, no, based on your x-ray and the condition you're in, we have to remove it. It is terrible. It is god-awful because it'll spread very quickly. We have to do this soon. I said, all right, doctor, but you know what that means. You know, I'll have no prostate. You can't have children. You know, you won't have, when men have this, you know, they really worry about impotency. That's true. That happened to me as well. So I said, but you got to think about your life. You want to live. You want to live for a long time. I said, okay, doctor, but I made up my mind already. Just get it out. Just get it out. He said, okay. So we scheduled the appointment at the hospital. It was on April 6, 2020. I was at the hospital. The thing was, this was during the time when COVID in the United States really hit hard. And it was scary. It was a scary, scary time. And so I went there, and it was like it was tense. I was frightened to death. I don't know. But the funny thing is, my brother and my mom went together to the hospital, but they could not go with me to the operating. You know, they wouldn't go with me to visit, or you know, they just wait. And my brother waited in the car for 3 hours, which was, I felt so bad. He couldn't come. They wouldn't let him in because of COVID. And my mom had to be in the waiting room all that time and didn't know anything, nothing. They had a screen or something. That's what she told me about the status of the operation. And then I was operated. They removed it. There were some microscopic cells left over, very teeny tiny ones. It could spread, but it's very slow. It'll take years to do that, but the doctor managed it out. And then once the operation, it was a success, you know, it was gone, but it was very hard, according to him. And he came on, he told my mom everything went fine, you know, but you can't see him, you can't see your son. So you have to come back maybe in two. So I stayed at the hospital for 2 to 3 days, you know, to recuperate. I was all alone. I had no visitors, none, nobody. All I had is the nurses. The doctor came by. That was it. I felt abandoned, you know, and sad. It was frightening, you know, because COVID was out. I was scared to die. I wore a mask all during that time. Even in bed, you know, because it was rampant, you know, the virus, that is. And so In a few days, a doctor told me you're doing okay. I had to wear a catheter. That was tough. Then I was sent home. I had to recover. It took a while, you know, because it was leaking. I had to wear a diaper. That's how the procedure is. And then he scheduled me for radiation. That was in the summer of August or something like that. And that went well. I went for 39 days, radiation. I went every day at 9 o'clock. And it was nothing. You just change into your gown. You lie down in front of this machine and did that. The people there were very nice, they were like family in a way. And I was done, and I had complications. I had an infection from the catheter. And my doctor goes, oh, no, I'm glad we took this off. Just drink a lot of water. And he prescribed me some antibiotics immediately. And I recovered that, And the recovery took a long time and for me to gain the strength. And then he prescribed me a medication called Orgovyx. That's like a kind of depresses the testosterone. That works fine. I'm still taking it today. And then I went for his checkups for PSA. They've been going down, but sometimes they go up, they go down. It's like a roller coaster. It goes up and down, up and down. And I was cancer-free October 27th, 2021, which is great. But then later on, the PSA went up because they found a spot in my rib, on the 10th rib, on the right. So it could be residue, I don't know how that word says, metastasized like that. It could be that or not, I don't know. So he prescribed me Xtandi, and that's a medication. And I've been taking that since last year, around this time. And the PSA goes down. I've been taking that until August of this year. And I had trouble with the insurance. And I didn't take it for a month and a half. And then the PSA rose again. So that's probably what happened. So we got that straightened out. And they resumed late September. And the doctor said, well, it takes about 2 or 3 months to really kick it in. To like that. And he was right. Now I feel more tired. I had no energy. I just lie down all the time. At night, it's worse because I want to sleep. And I want to sleep more like that. So far, I'm doing okay. I will see the oncologist in February 22nd. We'll see what happens. If the PSA is still up, he's going to try a new medication because there's a lot of them. I have a lot of options, which is wonderful. That's great. Not like years before. We have more options. And then I will see my urologist in March. Okay. But something? Being told that you have cancer is awful. It really is. And we didn't tell anyone about this right away. It was Christmas time. And I agree to that. I waited until after Christmas, and then in January, mid-January, I announced it to social media. I asked my family first. They said, go ahead, but first, my mom told the media family after that, and I said, okay. But, when you tell somebody, someone else is going to know, and this other person is going to know, and this and that. Well, I go, what about hiding it? You can't, really. So I made a video and I announced to everyone, on there in Chicagoland, my followers, what's going on. And I had the biggest support I ever had, really. People I don't even know. People that I do know, from school, from grade school, high school, places I used to work. And they were shocked. Very shocked. And and then when I see him in public, they were like, we're so sorry. We didn't know. And they gave me a hug. They kissed me. They told me to feel better, fight it, just fight it, you know, and I'm doing that. And I've been doing it ever since. So, I'm still fighting. It's a long journey, you know, and I get a lot of support, not just from my family, my followers, also from the media. People in the media, they know about there in Chicago. They came out to reach me. They send me messages. I've met them in person. Some of them, they told me, "Oh, we're so sorry. We love your page. And I hope you're feeling better." Every time I see somebody, ask me how I'm doing health wise, and especially men, because they're scared to death. They really are. They're scared to death because they don't think it's going to happen to them, but it did, and it happened to me. So I always tell people. So I always tell men and women, you know. If there's something wrong with you, go see a doctor. You know, have yourself checked out. You know, as for men, if you don't feel right, you know, if you're going to the bathroom a lot and you have a pain, go see him immediately. You know, if you don't, it'll be too late. Because I know a couple people did that. A couple of men I knew. They're dead now, so because they refused to listen. They didn't listen to their wives. They didn't listen to their girlfriends. They didn't listen to themselves. They just they ignored it, you know. They ignored the symptoms. Just please, please go see the doctor. Go see the doctor. Because it could save your life. It really does. And I have spoken many times, you know, on social media, please do that. Please do that. And so it's tough. It really is tough. I want to live a long time. I really do. So I changed my health habits, you know, most of it. I do exercise a little bit. I do a little walking, but now I'm 60 years old and everything hurts. You know, so I get bad knees like that. My feet hurt sometimes when I do too much walking, but I do a little walking. I do keep active. Also, I got new glasses, and I found out I got cataracts. I got a little cataract, so that's old age. So that I should be operated maybe next year or the following year. We'll see. But they're very small. But that's how it is. So I wish nobody would get this, what I have. Nobody. It would break my heart. But if someone did, they can reach out and talk to me. And some people have. They have reached out and they told me that. A lot of men are embarrassed to talk about it, but not to me. You know, there are support groups, but they reach out because they're in Chicagoland. They know who I am, what I do. And it's wonderful. And I love to give advice and I love to hear their stories and I give them support and I sort of lift their spirits like that. So I'm still fighting. I'm here to stay. And I will continue to do Van Chicagoland and the podcast for as long as I can. And I feel good now. I really feel good. So that was tough. Okay, right now I'm going to take a break. We're going to play another commercial. And then I'm going to talk about my earliest Christmas memories as a child. So this is more uplifting what I talked about, what I just did, what I talked about that. Excuse me. All right, right now I'm going to play a commercial. And this is from 1981. It's the Ronco Glass Froster. Remember that one? It's a Christmas commercial, so sit back and relax, and I'll be right back, folks. Thank you.
To a beer drinker, there's nothing like a cold beer served in a frosted glass. And now you can frost glasses at home instantly. Introducing the Ronco Glass Froster. It frosts all kinds of glasses. Just press the lever and frost glasses for mixed drinks, for soft drinks, for wine glasses or dessert glasses. It's a must for parties. And for only $8.88, they really do make great Christmas gifts.
Available at these fine stores.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Ronco Glass Frosty. It was a Christmas commercial from 1981. I remember this product. I never had it. I wish I did. You know, that's kind of cool. You know, who doesn't like a cold glass of beer or soda pop or dessert like that? That's nice. Ronco churned out a lot of great products. Still in business. Ron Popeil, he created those. He's been dead for a few years, but what a mastermind. It's amazing. Okay. Before I get started on the second topic, you know, I want to say this podcast is the first time I had a lot of tears in my eyes. You know, I was almost bawling, but I'm all right now. It was hard. So I'm doing okay now. So I just have to get my mind off of it and just move on, you know. Just move on, and I will do my best, you know. I just have to think positive, you know, and everything will be okay. All right. Second topic I want to talk about is my earliest Christmas memories as a child. And I posted a photo the other day. It was me sitting in front of a Christmas tree when I was 1 year old. And we lived in South Shore neighborhood on the south side of Chicago in our apartment. And I don't think it was my first Christmas tree because I was born in 1963. That photo is from December 64. It was a year later. I don't think Mama has a picture of that because I was a baby, you know, and I wouldn't know how to celebrate. But when you're 1 year older, you're a little more aware of Christmas, but I thought that was a cute photo of me. And yeah, we lived there. That was our first apartment. And then my brother was born the following year. And then we had more pictures of Christmas tree. But the earliest memory of the Christmas tree was, it was in South Shore. I was about maybe five years old. That was the year after we moved. I remember seeing it in by the window, you know, in the living room in our apartment. We moved to another apartment after that because, you know, my mom had another baby. So it was me and my brothers. I remember looking out the window and it was snowing, you know. I look out there and like it hit the sidewalk and it's so pretty, you know, around Christmas time. It's a nice feeling, and those beautiful lights, you know. I'm not talking about those skinny lights. I'm talking about those big bulbs like that, you know. I don't think I don't know if they sell those anymore. They have skinny lights because the big ones were huge, but sometimes they burn, you know, your Christmas tree. We never got a real tree, never, you know. My father was working at nights. He didn't have time, and he wasn't interested. We always had an artificial one. We still do to this day. And, you know, Christmas is special because that's my father's namesake. His name was Chris, naturally. Usually we go to church on that day. You know, it's a beautiful time. A lot of people don't go. It's kind of sad. And my mom has been cooking. She's been cooking ever since I was a child. You know, we always have traditional lamb with potatoes. She would make pastizo, you know, Greek lasagna. You know, she would bake mala macarena, those honey dip cookies. You know, I always post pictures of those. And of course, Christmas bread. And she's still doing that to this day. She's 88 years old and she's doing all that stuff. I told her, slow down. Just don't overdo it. You'll do something simple, but nope. She refuses. She wants to make us happy, you know, but she gets tired at times with it. I told her, just relax. Don't overdo it, please. You know, but she loves that time of year. And I do too. It's my favorite time of year. It's Christmas like that. And as the years went on, we changed. We had, you know, we threw away the artificials. We got new ones. Then we moved to Roseland. We lived above the shoe store, property owned by my father. And there's a few. And then we moved to Ashburn. We got more another Christmas tree. Some were big. Some were small. We the ornaments. You know, the original ornaments. We had them stored in the basement. Around in the 70s, but you know, we had a big flood in 1975 and they were ruined, you know, in the basement. So that was sad. I was devastated. We salvaged a few and we still have a couple, but over the years we bought new ones like that. And you know, you always buy lights and sometimes they're burned out and you know, like you have one string and one few bulbs are burned out and then go, ah, darn, you have to go buy new ones. Like that. And I love decorating. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't like to decorate because I thought it was boring. This is a boring job. I don't want to do this. But as you get older, you appreciate it. And it's fun like that. Sometimes, well, my mother does the decorating the tree, but sometimes she's sort of wants to do it herself, and she wants perfection. And like if one ornament's out of place, or like a light, she'll say, "Nah, fix it. You know, put this over there." Oh my God, I should get my own tree. No. Also, the toys I received when I was a kid. That'll take a long time for me to explain, but. She would buy toys for us. I remember she went to the toy store. I remember we went to Children's Bargain Town in South Chicago. She bought a couple of toys or Goldblatt's. They had a Goldblatt store at that area. We went downtown, you know, like Carson's or Marshall Fields, maybe, or wherever toys were sold, you know. Then as we got older, you know, she bought it from Weebold's Toys R Us. I received like toys from Fisher Price. Those were her favorites. I'll talk about that someday. Maybe this year. We'll see. Yeah, that's a good subject. Yeah, I'll talk about that. And board games. Got that. Tonka toys. You know, there were so many. That my brothers and I, we got that, and we played, and then we got bored, and then we got new ones. And as we got older, she bought us clothes, like sweaters, pants, shirts, you know, like that. Then when I got older, went Christmas shopping too. That's fun. It's crazy. Now everything's done online, and you know what? That's not fun. You know, sitting on your butt on a computer and just ordering. And you really go to the store, you know, and get a little exercise, you know, like that. But then the rush of doing that. And so, but other memories when I was younger is like when it snowed on Christmas, it's so beautiful. It really is. When it's really cold, yeah, but when there's snow on the ground. We did have white Christmases, so in some years, and it looks beautiful like that. I like it then. After January, like January 1st, no. I want it gone. Just like go away. We don't want it. Don't come back. But it lingers. It stays until March. So that's a shame. Like that. But also you get gifts from your stockings, you know, which is kind of cool. I still get that. that's a beautiful time. It really is. Okay. So that's it for this program. I'll do a recap of what I talked about. I talked about my earliest Christmas memories as a child. Also, my fourth anniversary of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. I'm glad I got that out of the way. I feel better. This podcast will be published later on today. Wherever podcasts are available, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Breaker, Overcast. if you use one of those apps, please hit subscribe or follow. You get the latest episode. Also, it'll be posted on my blog, www.vanishedchicagoland.blog. It'll be there. Also, my YouTube channel. A couple people have asked me yesterday, where do I listen to your podcast? We're doing this again. Just go to YouTube, do a search, hit subscribe, you know, find Vanishing Goblin Stories and hit the subscribe button. You will get a notification and you'll get the latest episodes. You can listen to previous episodes if you'd like, you have time, you know. Well, there was a point I want to make before I'm done. And then also be posted on my social media accounts, Facebook, X, Instagram, Threads, Reddit, and LinkedIn. They'll all be posted there. And, you know, I ran into a friend of mine I just met recently, and he says, you know, Peter, I don't have time to listen to your podcast because I'm so busy, and I feel terrible about this. I go, don't worry about it. You know, if you have time, make the time. You know, just don't worry. You can listen to your car if you have time. And he said, yeah, I'll do that. I will do that. He felt guilty about it. Please don't feel guilty. No, don't do that. But he wants to listen. He wants to listen, you know, because he says, you do an amazing job. I like what you do. You are fabulous. You know, that's nice. Like that. Okay. This is Pico Stiles, your host for Vanishing Goblin Stories. Thank you for joining me. Today's weather is kind of gloomy. Not that cold. That's a great Sunday. Just enjoy the rest of your weekend, folks. And here's bye-bye for me, and here's a little traveling music with Ray Rayner saying bye, bye, bye. Take care, everyone, and so long.
We have to go. Bye, bye, bye.